Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be listening to a message that I recently shared with our church family at Holt Assembly of God. The message you're hearing today is entitled, Living Free. Jesus said this, "If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." Jesus sets us free from the penalty of sin, but He also sets us free from the power of sin so that we can live free. In this message, I want to challenge you to identify and demolish strongholds in your life and experience freedom. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
So here's what I want to do. For the next few weeks, we're going to talk about breaking free. Breaking free. Breaking free from whatever binds us or hinders us in our walk with Jesus. And we're going to confront some areas in our lives. And I just want to challenge you, let the Holy Spirit speak to you throughout this series. Because I believe God wants us to experience freedom. Amen? Look what Jesus says in John chapter 8. You shall know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen? I mean, these are the words from Jesus. You shall know the truth shall make you free. You know, Jesus is the truth. Amen? But here's the thing we got to be cautious about. Just knowing about Him is not knowing Him. Amen? I mean, there are plenty of people in our community that have religion, and they know about Jesus. They know certain facts, but they don't know Him personally. They don't know Him intimately. Remember this, the first thing you got to know if you're going to break through is you got to know Him, amen? You got to know Him. Knowing about Him is just religion. Plenty of people, they know facts about Him, but they don't know Him. And I just want to challenge you this morning. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Him? So there are plenty of people, again, that have that knowledge about Him. Don't leave here today without knowing Him personally. If you know the truth, you'll be free. It's what God's Word says. And then not only that, you'll not only know the truth and know freedom, but you'll live free. I believe that's a theme we'll find throughout the Word of God. There's not only a freedom that is promised for us from the penalty of our sins, but there's a freedom that we can walk in. And I don't know about you, I want to walk in that freedom. So our theme for this new year, for 2020, is growing. And I believe that last year it was pressing on. Felt really strong in my spirit. That's what God was calling us to do. I believe that we did. We saw some major things happen in our church last year, some good things. Felt like this year, before the start of the year, I just felt like I got some time alone with God and felt like He just challenged us to grow. He's challenging us as a church individually to grow. Listen, before we can grow, before we can experience growth in our personal life, growth in growing the kingdom of God in our community, we've got to be free. We have got to be free. There's some things that will hinder our growth if we're not careful. And those are the things we want to address throughout this series. So it's my hope that everyone leaves here, not only today, but again, throughout this series, and you're challenged. I pray that no one leaves this place and they go, you know, I have these areas, but boy, I'm just not comfortable with exposing them. Man, church, you are here together. We are family, amen? And don't allow religion to do that to you. Listen, there is freedom in Jesus, amen? Look at John 8:36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I hope you're seeing the theme. So if you're born again, you are set free from sin, from the penalty of sin. But listen, there is that promise that remains, not only to be free from the penalty of sin, but to walk free, free from the desires of your sinful nature. So that's what we're going to do throughout this series. Again, many of us, we get tainted by religion, and there is this tendency to come to church and never allow the transforming power of the Holy Spirit to minister to us. And listen, that's a shame. I don't know about you. There's better things we can be doing on a Sunday morning than just coming to church and playing church. Amen? There are a ton of better things we can be doing. But if we'll honestly come through those doors and we have a desire to get closer to God, we have a desire just not to check our little religious box off and go home. But if we have a desire for God to touch and move in our lives, then I believe that's what He's going to do, because that's what His Word says, amen? So it'd be a shame for us, anyone, to attend this church to walk out the same way. And again, as your pastor, I'm just pleading with you. Drop the religious stuff at the door. It will never change you. It will never help you to find freedom. Just faking it till you make it ain't going to work. So just come here and just drop it at the door. Come transparently before God and find freedom, amen? So that's what I've titled this message, Finding Freedom. It's going to be the first in the series. I just can't wait to get to the end of this. So anyways, from the beginning, let's look at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Let's kind of just track from the very beginning. and look at a verse, and then we'll kind of work our way forward. So Matthew chapter 3, look at verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan. So this is Jesus going from Galilee down to Judea, to the Jordan, to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me? Verse 15, but Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. Verse 16, here it is, check this out. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove and alighted upon him. So as we read the story again, Jesus has left Galilee. He goes to John where he's baptized at the Jordan. John's preaching a message of repentance. People are following through that repentance with being baptized in water. And you know, for the first 30 years of Jesus' life, there's a lot of obscurity that's involved with him. There's not a lot that's said about him. But when he shows up there at the Jordan River, and he's baptized in water, the Holy Spirit comes upon him in the form of a dove. Remember, the Holy Spirit's not a dove, right? He's not a bird. But it came down upon him in the form of a dove. It's just a visual there. And at that point, he is anointed to do what he came to earth to do. So when he leaves Judea, we notice that he goes into the desert. He's led by the Spirit. He's fasting and praying there for 40 days. And he goes through his trials and his temptations. And when he leaves that place, he goes back to Galilee, back to Nazareth. And I just want to show you this verse. This is him coming back after 40 days in the desert. He's back in his hometown. He's back in Nazareth. And look at this. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. This is what he reads. Check this out. This is what he reads from the scroll. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. See, he's not just saying this. He's just experienced this. 40 days prior or so. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. If you've got a broken heart, Jesus can heal it. To proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight for the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He sits down after he reads this. He's reading from the scroll of Isaiah, from the scriptures. He sits down. He says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, right? So Isaiah is prophesying this 700 years prior. Jesus walks in after he's anointed with the Holy Spirit, and he goes, today's the day. This is when it begins. I'm the Messiah. This is what I'm going to do. This is what was prophesied about me years and years, centuries before, and now he's here. He's in the flesh. Christ is in you to set you free, amen? Some of you began 2020. Begin a new year, a new decade. Isn't that crazy to think? 2020, not just a new year, a new decade. And I'm sure in this room, some of you had your sights set on something. You made a vow. In this new year, in this new decade, I'm going to stop doing this, and I'm going to start doing this. All right? Some of you have done that. And you know what's happened already? 26 days into the new year, you've already failed. See, listen, I don't want to beat on you, and I want to encourage you. Don't give up. Don't give up, amen? Listen, today's a new day. Start over. The promise still exists. Whatever it is you're trusting God for, it still exists. And I want you to know when you're knower that Jesus can set you free. Freedom it's a perpetual promise. It just wasn't for that time. It extends throughout all the ages. As long as the church is here, as long as we are here on the earth, as long as the Spirit of God is moving and ministering, there is this promise where we can experience freedom. Look at John 10:10. The thief does not come except to what? To steal and to kill and to destroy. Look what Jesus said. That's what the devil wants to do. But look what Jesus, look how he counters that. I have come that they may have life. Not just life. He doesn't stop there, right? That they may have it more abundantly. Now listen, we're talking about God in the flesh. When he says more abundantly, that means it's good, amen? It's some good stuff. Satan will tell you this. You can't experience this. You can't experience freedom. So just deal with it. Just be glad you're saved. Boy, have you ever encountered that in your life? I have. I've felt temptation. I felt just my flesh even say it. Be happy that you're saved. No, no, no. Why settle for that? Amen? That's all hogwash. But Jesus promises life abundantly. Therefore, we should settle that matter in our hearts and pursue life abundant then. It's his promise best. If we believe that Jesus can save us from the penalty of our sins, boy, I do, don't you? His blood is sufficient. Then why can't we believe for freedom for our soul? Which is harder? Which is harder, to forgive sins or to walk in freedom? See, I would argue this. He's already taken care of the hard part. Now we just got to walk in freedom, and you can. So how can born-again believers experience freedom? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I think this is a good verse to focus on. Look at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And that's a powerful verse. If you have an area of your life where you're not experiencing freedom, most likely you're encountering a stronghold. Most likely you're encountering a stronghold. A stronghold will keep you from experiencing freedom. Now, a stronghold, it might be a habit, it might be a thought, it might be a wound, it might be some kind of shame that just keeps you locked up and keeps you from moving forward with Jesus. It's a stronghold. Let's identify what it is. So in verse 5, you see every high thing. Every high thing. Some versions of the Bible translate that as pretensions. It's a claim or an aspiration. That's what a pretension is. It's a claim or an aspiration. Boy, I hope some of you get this now. We believe some things we believe that aren't true, and they impact our lives. Man, I'm sure every one of you, every one of us in here have heard lies that we've taken on as truth. And it will affect our freedom. It will affect the freedom that we have in Christ. So, church, we've got to be diligent about demolishing those strongholds. Because if we don't, they will hinder us. All right, example, there are people who have self-esteem issues. There are people that get so, and listen, we should not shame them. We should not be so critical. It's just real. It's part, especially in this day and age when we are so image-driven. All right, especially on young people. There's such a counter of the enemy on self-esteem issues. Some people are so driven by self-esteem and low self-esteem that they kill themselves. It's real, amen? It's not a phony thing. It's something that we really face in our lives. So that's why we need to be diligent about demolishing those strongholds. Here's the truth about you. Here's the truth that we need to come to. All right, are you following me? We are more than conquerors through Christ, amen? You are more than a conqueror. You say, well, just maybe for you. No, for everyone. If you are born again, you are more than a conqueror. See, the enemy, he'll set up a pretension to keep you bound, to keep you hindered. He'll keep you in a stronghold. You got to be careful. You got to know who you are in Christ. God knows the truth about you. He knows the plans that he has for you. You say, well, I'm not fulfilling it right now, but he still has a plan for you. But I've messed up, but he still has a plan for you. And you are more than a conqueror. Well, I've been defeated, defeated, defeated. No, you're more than a conqueror. Listen, I'll tell you this. The only way you're going to be conquered is if you give up. I don't know about you. Jesus bled and died. He gave up so much for me. I'm not going to give up, amen? If I got a goal, I've set my mind to it. I'm going to do it. And that's maybe not always healthy, and I get that. But we've got to get that into our spirit. When it comes to the promises of God, even if you failed, even if you messed up, don't give up. It's the worst thing you can do. Maybe you struggle with your self-esteem. Maybe it's your emotions. Maybe it's your past. Maybe it's the things you've done. But you can be free, amen? Maybe you have a vice. Maybe it's a secret sin. Maybe the enemy tells you this. You'll be bound. You'll always be bound. And you'll never be free. Liar, liar. That's a pretension. Satan uses that pretension to create a stronghold. So what's a stronghold? A stronghold is a place that has been fortified so as to protect it from attack. He's trying to protect what he knows about you. He wants you to believe a lie. That's what he'll use a stronghold for. Look at another definition of a stronghold. A place where a particular cause or belief is strongly defended or upheld. He's a liar, church. He'll lie. A stronghold in the sense of what I'm trying to talk to you today about is this. And here's what I really want to drive home. It's living according to something that's not true. It's living your life according to a lie. See, a stronghold makes you feel like it has power over you, when in reality, it doesn't. That's what a stronghold will do. See, it's a lie. It's a deception. It's a deception from the deceiver. Look what Jesus says about Satan. If you're not very sure about his character or his nature, Jesus identifies this for us. Look at this, John 8:44. He was a murderer from the beginning, speaking of Satan, and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. He's the opposite. There is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. See, Satan is the father of lies, and he'll just whisper something into your flesh. He'll whisper something into your mind. And if you're not careful, you'll take that home and you'll think, well, that's what it is. That's how I am. That's what I'll always be. No. There is freedom in Jesus. Amen. You are more than a conqueror. You are a child of God. I'll give you an illustration. I know this is true. I don't know that they necessarily do it this way anymore. I don't know about elephants, but I do know that there's a time where you would take an elephant and you would chain them with a heavy chain to keep them in place, something they couldn't break. And what happened was those massive animals would be chained and they couldn't get free. But eventually, after they would feel tension, they'd stop trying to break free. They felt that little bit of tension, they would stop. And then eventually, you could switch out those chains for ropes, something they could easily break. In a matter of enough, and they had all that strength and power, they can break those ropes. What happens is, they believe a lie. They believe that tension, that rope, is enough to keep them held in their place. See, we're just like that. Sometimes we believe a lie. Satan has power. He can do some stuff, but he doesn't have authority. There's a difference between the two. He has power. He can do things. We can see that throughout Scripture, but he has no authority. Guess who has authority? All right, but guess who else has authority? You do. We do. We have authority. So some of us, we just got the first step we got to do is just stop believing lies. Stop believing the lies. You won't ever break free. You won't ever break free and experience freedom, the freedom that God desires for you to have, if you keep giving in to that tension, that deception of the enemy. You can experience freedom. Just stop believing a lie. Beth Moore, she wrote a book called Praying God's Word. And in that book, she shares this definition of a stronghold. Anything that exalts itself in our minds, pretending to be bigger and more powerful than our God. I want you just to look at that for a second and get that into your spirit. Anything that exalts itself in our minds, pretending, it's a pretension to be bigger and more powerful than our God. It's a pretension. It's a high thing. It's exalting itself against the knowledge of God. Again, Satan has no authority. And remember that you have authority in Jesus. When we believe the lie of the liar, what we do is we empower the liar. We empower him. Church, don't give him what he doesn't have, amen? Don't give him what he doesn't have. Here are some symptoms of a stronghold. Your focus. Your focus will get all jacked up. It'll get all messed up when you're dealing with a stronghold in your life. Here's what will happen. You'll try to focus on the things of God. You'll try to focus on, today I'm going to read God's word, and every distraction will kick. You're like the cat. The little cat that follows around toys and lights. And, you know, it's concentrating on something, then it lights it there, and it's gone. It's off in another world. Can I tell you that? And I know that's funny, but if that's the way we are with God's word, we try to sit down, we get distracted. Well, this comes up, that comes up, this thought races. Can I tell you, you might be struggling with a stronghold. You might be struggling with a stronghold. Listen, this is something that we desperately need is God's word, his presence, to worship it. And when things get us distracted, even coming to church, well, I tried to get to church today, but this happened and that happened. Can I tell you that sometimes we deal with strongholds, but they're right in front of us, but we don't even see it. Here's another one. We can feel controlled. You feel controlled. Example, a person who is an alcoholic, they'll at some point, they'll take on that persona. I'm an alcoholic. No, you're not. You aren't what you've become. See, you have to realize who you are in Christ. You have to realize who he's created you to be. You're not. He did not create you to be an alcoholic. He's not created you to have whatever vice, whatever problem, whatever issue you deal with. He's not called you to be that. He's called you to be his child. That's his intention. You feel control. I don't have any other hope, any other desire, so I just give in to this, and this is who I am. That's not who you are. You feel like you've lost control. Another one, you feel like you've lost all emotional energy. You lose all emotion, hopelessness, depression. It'll grip your heart, it'll grip your life. You'll feel like you have no inner strength. A stronghold will sap, it will just take all the energy and strength out of you. You'll feel completely depleted. Number four, it'll distract us from our purpose. If you're born again, Satan may have lost you. And this is what, sometimes I believe he's even okay with losing you. He just doesn't want to lose anyone else. Listen, we're all called not only to serve God, to be his children, but we're called to be a witness. We're called to lead others to Christ. And I believe this with all my heart. Sometimes he's like, well, I've lost him, I've lost her, but I'll do everything I can to make sure they have no impact on anyone else. See, a stronghold will distract you from God's purpose. God's purpose is that you win others to Christ. Not just a preacher, not just an evangelist. Every one of us are called to be soul winners. We overcome the enemy by what? The blood of Jesus, right? And what? The word of our testimony, amen? The truth we've experienced. Satan doesn't want that truth. Listen, people can argue with you. I never said, never argue scripture with an unbeliever. Don't do that. Just tell them your story. Well, I don't believe this, and I don't believe that. That's okay, but this is what Jesus did in my life. See, they can't argue with you what you've experienced. Just share your testimony with them. And so what happens is, Satan will do everything he can do to keep you from sharing your testimony. Why? He doesn't want the kingdom of God to expand. That's our purpose. Our purpose is share Jesus, amen? Look how many churches. You want to see some strongholds? Find a church that's not reaching its community and that is centered, is focused on themselves. You got a stronghold in that church. Strongholds rob us of abundant life. Number five, strongholds rob us of abundant life. Jesus promises us abundant life. But many of us, we're in survival mode. We're in survival mode. We're just trying to hang on. And we settle for less than God's best. Don't ever settle for less than God's best. Amen? Can I tell you this? Jesus gave too much blood, too much life for you not to walk in his best. Again, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus has come to give us life and life more abundantly. Don't give up on the promise of abundant life. If you say, well, that just seems like a pipe dream in my situation, no, it's not. It's a promise to you. If you're born again, if you're a child of God, it's a promise to you. Jesus wants you free, but what's your reality? Are you living free? He wants you free, but are you living free? Again, we deserve, and I don't mean this in an entitled way, every one of you, we deserve exactly what Jesus died for. He gave his life. He surrendered himself for us to enjoy life and life abundantly. And I believe it's this way. We'll encounter things in our lives. We feel guilty then because God's blessed us. Why do you ever feel, don't ever feel embarrassed of God's blessings, amen? Don't ever feel that way. Jesus gave his life for you to walk in life abundantly. And listen, if you go through a hard time, it doesn't mean he's abandoned you. There's abundant life in the good and in the bad, amen? Jesus is entitled to receive the rewards of his suffering, and he is glorified when we walk in his blessings, when we walk in abundant life. Look at 2 Timothy 2:26. And that they may have come to their senses, escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Some of us, we need to come to our senses. Come to your senses. Jesus has promised us abundant life. Don't allow stuff, don't allow situations to get in the way of that promise, amen? If it glorifies Jesus, then you know what? We should walk in his purposes. So how can we find freedom from our strongholds? Let's go back to and just think about 2 Corinthians for just a second. But how can we experience freedom? How can we have freedom from a stronghold? Take back your thought life. Take back your thought life. I'm not going to get on a soapbox and start railing against certain things. If you watch something and it frustrates you, turn it off. If you listen to something and it makes you angry, turn it off. If you watch something and it creates an issue within you, a desire, turn it off. If it frustrates you, if it irritates you, shut it off. Get control of your thought life, amen? Seriously, if the news makes you mad, don't watch it. Well, I watch Fox News. It don't make it any better. I'm just saying this. If you feel encouraged after you watch an hour of Fox News, there's something wrong with you. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, as he thinketh in his heart, so he is. Get control of your thought life. Be careful what you entertain in your mind, because it affects who you become. See, we can be focused on who we are called to be, who God has promised us to be, who God has anointed us to be, or we can become what we think on. See, there's a great example of you promised freedom, but you're experiencing bondage. Get control of your thought life. The Bible says to bring every thought into captivity. See, I believe this. We're too loosey-goosey with our thoughts. You don't believe me? Go home today. Take about 5 minutes and scroll through Facebook. There's a lot of loosey-goosey thoughts. You know what I'm saying? I mean, people write things, say things. It's like, boy, I can tell your story. You need a good dose of Jesus is what you need. That's what I want to write sometimes. Hey, get off the social media and get back to Jesus. Turn it off. Turn it off. See, I think this is what happens. We think we're so much more evolved because we have such advanced technology that we don't have to be so careful with our thoughts, but the opposite is true. Now more than ever, with the technology, with the devices that we have, we can just plug into the spirit of the world so easy that you have to be more diligent about what you put in this brain of yours. Listen, church, by the way, the biggest problem you'll have is not the devil, it's right here. And if you empower him, boy, you give him footing. Don't give him footing. Now more than ever, take control of your thought life. Romans 8, 5 and 6. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. When you set your mind on the things of the flesh, when you set your mind on the things of the world, it brings death. It doesn't bring life. What are you setting your mind upon? What are you setting your mind upon? If you set your mind on the flesh, it brings death. Death to the life that Jesus is trying to bring to you. Death to your family. It can bring death to your finances. Death to all areas of your life if you're controlled by the flesh. When we allow the flesh to control our minds, the things of God, they just begin to die within us. Begin to die within us. Pastor, why am I not experiencing freedom? Well, because you're on social media all day. That's why. That's one good reason. Or here's this. And again, I'm not trying to get on a soapbox, but hear me. Why am I not experiencing freedom? Well, all day long, all you listen to is a bunch of garbage music. Listen, if you are just bringing in the spirit of the world all day long, and I don't care if it's G-rated or not, you got to counterbalance that with Jesus. Amen? You have got to counterbalance that with his kingdom. You can't just continue dying on this world and think you're going to be strong. You're not. And really, if you do, how has that worked out for you so far? How has that worked out for you so far? Maybe you watch, again, too much Fox, too much CNN. I don't know what it is. Maybe too much talk radio. Man, I used to love talk radio. I used to listen all day long to talk radio. But can I tell you, I begin to feel, I just get angry all the time. I just get mad at certain people. When you get mad at certain people who aren't agreeing with you politically, you know that you may not be so apt to share Jesus with them. You know why? Because you're a human being, because you have feelings, you have emotions. Well, I'm better than that. Again, how's that worked out so far? If you're a conservative, who's the last liberal you won to Jesus? Oh, why did it get so quiet? No, that's legalism. No, that's fact, buddy. That's fact. See, if you flood your mind with this world, if you flood your mind with this world, you will resist the life that Jesus is trying to bring to you. Put too much garbage into our brains, church. Got to be careful. Get control of your thought life. Okay, you'll never change your life. Your life will never change until you change the way you think. All right, number two, identify the lie. Identify the lie. Identify what Satan is saying to you. Know that it's a lie, too. Remember, he's a liar. This is what happens. Boy, if you really, he plays the same plays all the time. We're just so foolish we fall into it. The places where he's telling you you can't is exactly where God is saying, yes, you can. Yeah, you can't have this. No, you can have this. It's the opposite. He's a liar. Remember this. But it's so believable. Of course, he's a deceiver. He was able to deceive Adam and Eve. One command, right? Don't eat from that tree. Do we really think they were just ignorant? The deception was so strong, they fell right in line with it. I'm just saying, he is a deceiver. He is a liar. And so when you identify his lies, boy, you can find the truth. That may be, but here's a better way. Just know the truth. Know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So you may have a deep pain that Satan has said this. A deep pain, a deep shame. You can't ever be free from that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Again, wherever Satan, this world, people, even our own flesh, says that we can't experience freedom, it's a lie. What does Jesus say? What does God's word say? Expose the lie and defeat the liar. Remember, Satan has no authority. You are a child of God. Number three, replace the lie with truth. Replace the lie with truth. There is nothing too difficult for our God, period. That's truth. Throughout the Word of God, we see that. Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Now, I'm not an expert on Greek, but I know nothing means nothing. For God, there's nothing impossible. There's nothing impossible for Him. Remember, church, if you don't walk away with all these scriptures, but you are and you're standing in the midst of issues this week, know this, that there's nothing impossible for God. There's nothing too difficult for Him. If you can't remember anything else, when you are standing toe-to-toe with this world, with the enemy, to say there's nothing too big for my God. There's nothing impossible for Him. Look at Ephesians 6. I love this verse about the armor of God. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You all know this verse, right? And he goes on and describes the armor, and it's mostly defensive, right? But look at this. Let's go on down to verse 17. Verse 17. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And I believe it's not just an offensive weapon. I believe there are two that are there myself personally. The word of God and prayer. The word of God. Listen, replace the lie with the truth. The word of God. God's word is so powerful. And listen, there's so many things, again, when you're dealing with strongholds, when you're dealing with pretensions, there's all kinds of distractions that will come in. And you say, well, I'm not good at reading. Then listen, get your phone out, get the Bible app, it's free, and listen to the word. Listen to it daily. Get it into your spirit. Listen to what God is speaking to you. Remember, He's not just speaking this to everyone else. He's speaking it to you. The Word of God will provide encouragement to the Spirit of God within you. Your spirit will be, it'll be rejuvenated. Dine on His world. Stop dining so much on this world. Get His Word inside of you. Remember, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So you can't live free without feeding on His Word. It's so important. And I would, again, and add another dimension is that we read in Ephesians 6 is this. Not just knowing the word, memorizing it, quoting it, which I think is important, but I would even offer you to do this. Pray it. Pray it. Pray the word of God. I don't know how to pray. Then you find you a scripture. You find something that God is speaking to you. You know, it's so, you can even cheat. You can go to the back of the book. You can look certain things up. If it's fear, then you can find a verse on fear. Again, if you have a phone, you can just take out your phone, go to your Bible app, put in fear, and it'll be all these verses. And you can find one to stand on then. It is not hard these days. There's no excuse for us not to take the Word of God, stand on it, quote it, memorize it, but pray it. Take time to read God's Word, meditate on it, and replace the lie with God's Word, with truth. All right, what are some lies some of us are believing? What needs to be countered? What are some lies that we can counter from God's Word? I cannot be forgiven. Yes, you can. You can be forgiven, amen? You don't know what I've done. God does. And you can be forgiven. I've used this example before, and I truly believe this. When Judas betrayed Jesus, if he would have repented, went to the cross, and asked Jesus to forgive him, he would have forgave him. The one who betrayed Jesus and put him on the cross, basically, he would be forgiven. So what have you done that is so great that God can't forgive? He can. You can be forgiven. I can't or won't be healed. Who says that? Because God's word doesn't say that. You can experience healing. I can't change. Who says that? You can change. The Spirit of God can transform you. He can change you. Well, a person I love will never be saved. Who said that? Is that what God said? Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. They can be saved. Well, I can't help myself. Yes, you can. Fruit of the Spirit is self-control. I can't be free. Yes, you can. I can't be saved. Yes, you can. Who are we going to believe? The world? What Satan says? Are we going to believe God's word? See, the list goes on and on and on, and there are so many things. We just have to counter the lie with truth. Today, Jesus, I believe this, he's inviting you to trust his word, believe in his word, stand upon his word, and find freedom.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I hope this message was a blessing to you. If you are looking for a church home, I want to encourage you to come and worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.